his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue to deliver the Word of God. We are now going into Romans chapter 12. Last week we completed Romans chapter 11. And we are going to be starting Romans chapter 12 this week. We have been going through the book of Romans, and we are going to continue until we finish the 16th chapter. We thank God for his goodness towards us, his mercy and his grace. He has been good to us. And thank God, you know, he's still speaking to us. If he hasn't been speaking to us, then we would be in big trouble. But his words are coming to us. And it's for us to hear his word and practice it. So the Lord is calling us not just to be listeners, but to be people who practice his words. So we are going to start in Romans chapter 12. But before I begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your blessings on us daily. Thank you, O God, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love which never fail. You never give up on us. Thank you for the hope we have in you, Jesus. Thank you for dying that we might live. And because you live, we live. Thank you, O God, for your word to us this evening. Thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We pray, O God, that your word, O God, will be used as a mirror to us this evening. It will show us up, O God. It will show us where we need, O God, to straighten out and to fix, O God, by your help, the things in our lives that needs to be fixed. Father, we look to you this evening. Have your mercy upon us and lead us to that place of complete surrender, where our hearts and minds will be surrendered to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for those that are listening. We pray for those, O God, who are saved, that they will be strengthened in their walk with you. And we pray for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to know you and trust you. Father, I thank you right now for what you are doing and what you are about to do, as we look to you by faith and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are going to start Romans chapter 12. But before I begin Romans chapter 12, I just want to go back to Romans 11, the last verse of Romans 11, and go over that verse again. The last verse of verse 36 of Romans 11 said, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." So everything comes through God and exists by him and was made for his glory. And people of God, we have to come to understand that he has called us for his glory and for his praise. So our desire should be to bring glory and honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he's here to glorify Jesus Christ in our lives. So let us surrender, and let us walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Let us know that he is the one that brings that glory to Christ. As we surrender to him, he works through us so that the glory will go to Christ Jesus. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 12. And this chapter deals with Christian conduct. Christian conduct. And we see in verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So as Paul was speaking to the Romans, he said, I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice. People of God, we have to remember that the word tells us that we are created to what? To bring him glory. For to him be glory forever. Amen. So Paul was saying, I'm beseeching you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You can't do this on your own, but by the mercy that is bestowed to us daily, that we present our bodies as living sacrifice, that we live a surrendered life. That's what Paul was saying. As he was speaking to the audience then, to the Roman audience then, so these words are speaking to us today, that we present our bodies as living sacrifice. We present our bodies in a state of complete surrender to God. Holy, set apart, people of God, different from the world, acceptable unto God. So we have to come living up to his standard by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't come with making our own standard and think that will please God. We have to come according to his standard. That is the only way we are going to be acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable act of worship to him. People of God, we are called to worship him. To him be glory forever. Amen. We are called to worship him, to live a lifestyle of worship. Not just to say, I worship you, O God. But our lifestyle is a lifestyle of complete surrender, complete worship to God, complete dedication to him, complete commitment to him, completely devoted to him. People of God, we have to realize that this comes through the mercies of God. The Holy Spirit is with us and he's able to help us to live that life that is holy and pleasing to God. He's able to help us to live a lifestyle of worship to God. We're called, people of God, to surrender. We're called to present our bodies as living sacrifices. To come with body, soul, and mind completely dedicated to our God. Jesus said that we should love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Every part of us should love him and worship him. Every part of us should bring worship to God. So God is saying to us today, people of God, this is your reasonable act of worship. This is your reasonable service to God. God is not asking for too much, but he's asking for us to just present ourselves to him as living sacrifice. Holy, set apart, different from the world, acceptable, according to his standard, not our standard, not the world's standard, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable act of worship to him. Look at verse 2 of Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What was Paul saying here? Don't fit into this world. Don't fit into the standard of the world. But be transformed. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. People of God, our minds have to be renewed with the word of God. Our thinking has to change. We have to put away that old thought pattern that we had before we met Christ. And now we have to think according to what God's word says. Our minds have now to be renewed. Have to be renewed with the word of God. That we might prove. We might be certain. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People of God, we need to be sure. We need to be certain of what God's perfect will is. God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. God's will is always good, it's always acceptable, and it's always perfect. So we want God's perfect will to be done in our lives, people of God. But if our minds are not renewed with His word, His perfect will not be done in our lives, because we will be acting according to the old mindset. And we find out that if we continue to be acting according to the old mindset, then we are still conformed to the world and its system. We are still fitting into the world's pattern, doing things according to the pattern of the world and not according to the word of God. So God is calling us, people of God, to be transformed, to be changed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 of Romans 12, Paul said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So Paul was warning the Romans against pride, telling them not to have an inflated view of themselves, but to assess themselves correctly, to be clear-minded and understand that it is God who has given every man the amount of faith that he has. Faith is a gift, people of God. We have to understand that we don't just get up and have faith like that. Faith is a gift. And we can see the word tells us that faith is a gift of the Spirit. So God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, the amount of faith that he wants to give to that man. So faith is a gift. So let us come to understand that we can become inflated with ourselves and think that we have it all together. So Paul said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. Be clear-minded about your view of yourself and understand that it is God who has given every man the amount of faith that he has. Faith is a gift, people of God. Look at verse 4 of Romans 12. "For as we have many members in our bodies, and all members have not the same office." We have many members in our bodies, and all members have not the same office. So Paul was saying, as our physical bodies have different parts and different functions. So he went on to verse 5 and said, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." So he was saying, so he was comparing the body of Christ even with the physical body, just as how the physical body has different parts and different functions, so it is with the body of Christ. The body of Christ have different people and different functions. Each one has different gift, but we are all one body. We are all one in Christ. Every one of us belong to each other, people of God. Every one of us belong to each other because we belong to the body of Christ. Just as how each body part belong to our whole body, so each member of the body of Christ, we belong to each other because we all belong to the body of Christ. What was Paul trying to bring forth here with this message? Look in verse 6. Having then gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So Paul said, we then, having then different gift in the body. So each one of us might have different gift. But the word said, having then different gift according to the grace that is given to us. So these gifts were given. These are grace, gift. These were given according to the grace. The Holy Spirit has given these gifts as he pleases, as he wishes. So these gifts were given according to the grace that is given to us. So if we have a prophetic gift, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith that is given to us. According to that measure of faith that is given to us to use this prophetic gift, let us use it to the honor and glory of our God. Let us use it with wisdom. Let us use it in truth. Let us use it and prophesy what the Lord says. Be a true prophet. Be a true prophet according to the gift that was given to you. And bring honor. Bring honor to the name of the Lord with the gift that he has given you. So the gift was given to us to benefit the body of Christ, so that people of God, the body will be functioning as it ought to. There will be no lack in the body. So when we all use our gift according as it was given to us and use it with the right mindset, knowing that this is all about glorifying God, then we will treasure this gift. And we will take care of the gift. We will steward this gift. And we will ask the Holy Spirit to continuously empower us to use this gift to the glory of God. So Paul said, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Look at verse 7. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth and teacheth. Our ministry, when you think of ministry, we think of serving. Whatever area you're called to serve, let us serve in our calling, people of God. Let us serve in our calling. He that is called to teach, let him teach. And let us come to understand that what God has given us, the gift that he has given us, it's really to bring him glory. It's to edify the body of Christ. It's to bring the saints to maturity, to equip them for the benefit of the ministry, people of God. So God's name will be glorified. When the ministry is functioning right, then God's name will be glorified. So we have to understand that we are to serve in our calling. And if we are teaching, called to teach, let us teach God's truth. The word of God tells us that stricter judgment will come upon those who teach. If we are teaching false doctrines, then we are in trouble. But let us come to understand that we must teach the word of God. We must teach God's word only, nothing else. We must teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must teach the word of God. The whole Bible, the Old and New Testament, unified, we must teach the word of God and don't just choose the areas that we want to teach, but ask the Holy Spirit to empower us. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and insight into his word. He is the author, so he knows the meaning of his word. Ask for revelation so we can teach and teach well, teach effectively, that people will understand and come into a knowledge of who God is and bring him glory by living that lifestyle of complete surrender. We are called to complete surrender. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. So even as we're called to use our gifting, people of God, it's to bring honor to the name of Christ. So we have to come in complete surrender. We have to come His way, not our way. We have to come according to His standard, not our standard. We have to come with a renewed mind, so that the word will now be our guide. Not our word, but the word of God that will be our guide. Look on verse 8 of Romans 12. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He that exhorteth on exhortation, if you are called to exhort, be one that exhort with the word of God and guide people along the journey, guide them, encourage and guide them. Not only to encourage, but you also have to guide them. Sometimes they are just falling off track. You have to now lead them back, point them back to Christ. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You give in, you don't give to show off and for the whole world to know that you are giving. You give it with simplicity. You give in from your heart. You give it with a free heart. You give it cheerfully in love. He that ruleth with diligence, if you're called to lead, you do it with diligence. Be diligent. Don't be up this moment and next minute you're down and not doing as you ought to do. You have to be consistent as a leader. Consistent. Hold up the standard of God consistently. So be diligent. Walk and live a surrendered life as you lead God's people. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We are called to show mercy. The word of God says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But the word said, even when we are showing mercy, we should do it with cheerfulness. Do it, people of God, with a good heart. Do it. Show love. Show that heart of empathy and sympathy. But don't just say, I'm showing mercy, and that kindness is not there. That love is not there. So we don't want to just say that we are showing mercy, or we are, but we want to do it from our hearts and be cheerful about it. Do it. Show that mercy with cheerfulness. Look at verse 9. The word said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's what dissimulation means. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, hate that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let our love not be pretentious love, people of God. Let us genuinely love one another. Let us be sincere about our love for one another. Let us not just come and say, I love you. I love you, because this is a common saying among us. Even those in the world will come and say, love you, love you. But it's not real. But we have to come to understand that God is calling us to be people who are not hypocritical. Let your love be genuine, Paul said. Let love be without dissimulation. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Genuine love, sincere love for one another. Hate that which is evil. We have to come to that place again, people of God, where we start to hate evil. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Hate evil. And cling to what is good. Cling to what is good, people of God. Verse 10 said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another. In love, with brotherly love, people of God, we are called to have brotherly love. And be kindly affectioned. We should be affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Honoring one another. Showing honor to one another. People of God, we have to become people of honor. We have to learn how to honor one another. Instead of being disrespectful and being rude to each other, we are called to show honor and come to understand that we are all God's people. And if we see ourselves as being honorable, we should see every individual as being honorable. Also, each one of us in the body are honorable. So Paul said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. We need to have that brotherly love. I will not hurt my brother. Love does no ill to his neighbor. Love covers a multitude of sin. All of the laws and the prophets, they are hung up on this one word, love. When we love people of God, we will not do any harm to our neighbors or to our brothers. And we will show honor and respect to those that we come in contact with. Not slothful, verse 11 said of Romans 12. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, not lazy in your business affair. Fervent in spirit. So you're consistently moving in the spirit, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We don't want to be today, we're doing well, serving the Lord. Tomorrow we are just barely dragging our feet. We want to be consistently serving God the way that he ought to be served, with fervency, with a passion, with glowing love for him and his people. So Paul reminds us to be fervent in spirit. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit, people of God, can we be fervent, can we be truly passionate for the Lord and the things of God. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. We continue to rejoice in hope because we are always expecting from the Lord. Patient when tribulation comes, continuing always in prayer. God bless you all this evening. We'll stop here this evening and we'll continue in Romans chapter 12 next week. Thank you all for listening. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us this evening. We thank you, O God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you for all that you are doing through your word. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Blessings to you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.